Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Welcome to Democratic Perspective. Mike Cosentino is sitting across from me.
I am. I'm Silent Mike this morning.
And he's not cross
like Silent
with me,
Bob.
Though. And then Gary LeMaster, one of our researchers, has joined us in the studio today.
Good morning, everyone.
And we need all the help we can get because we're going to talk about school funding.
School funding and education.
Education.
First, an update on Yavapai College.
Yeah.
There have been three more public meetings in Sedona. They're abrasive, but the college is, each one of the meetings has been very closely questioned.
Intense.
They've been very intense. Thank you, Gary. Been very intense meeting. And, when the college went before the Sedona City Council, and the counselors all run as a nonpartisan position, but they range from the Tea Party on the right to liberal Democrats on the left. No one was happy with Yavapai College. The latest meeting, League of Women Voters, very structured. They didn't allow the critics of the college to speak, just the members of the college administration and its board of directors. The editor of the newspaper demanded that they meet with him and talk about all these figures and stuff that they've been putting out. My sense is that, and I think that when Mike and Gary and I go around and we talk to people and talk to sources off record, is there's, you might as well say it, there's a very strong distrust of what the college says now. The feeling that they're not honest, that they're not really telling us what they're going to do, that they're parsing their words so carefully that you can't figure out what they're saying. It's a situation we mentioned before. Like you say, well, Sedona would be a great place to have a culinary institute. And then people in Sedona, public officials, think, wow, they're thinking of putting a culinary institute.
Yeah, if that is said by a board member or the school president, then that gives hope. But it's just...
It's just a shadow.
Blowing smoke.
Blowing smoke. So that's the situation. The argument now in the Verde Valley, and you can be able to participate in this, is people who think that the college can be pressured to do the right thing. And we're more confident that we can put pressure in Sedona. We're more worried. I'm more worried about the Clarkdale campus just sort of slowly fading into the, like an old soldier. There's two arguments. One is that the college will reform. They'll hear all these complaints from everybody. There's a meeting down in Clarkdale on Tuesday at 3 p.m. in what's called the Men's Lounge of the city, Clarkdale City Council. That's an odd name for it, but that goes way back to the turn of the century, and it doesn't mean a bathroom. It means they had separated men from women, and they have their meeting rooms. I think that's where we are at, except that some people think this will not work out and the only thing to do is form a separate administrative district. We'll keep you folks up to date. I don't know if Mike or Gary, you want to add anything on this?
I think there's some momentum for a separate administrative district. A number of people have met informally with it and on the idea, and so I think you can look to see more on that.
If you're one of those people who are meeting informally, please keep doing it. I think that's the only answer.
And I am one of those.
I think that's the only answer because they are going to, if you go to the meetings, they avoid, they dodge, they won't answer the newspaper's questions. The managing editor of the Red Rock News is asking direct questions and not getting an answer. This is bad behavior.
And the reason we keep going back to this, folks, is that according to a recent study, 53% of Arizona graduates do not qualify to go to one of the state universities. 53%. The fallback for that is going to a community college. The fallback, if you haven't done well in high school, is go to a community college. What I think, Mike, is that particularly, I think young men feel that they're unsuccessful in high school, and they're unsuccessful in even in middle school, and that they have no chance to go to college.
I don't want to get bogged down in the education. I agree wholeheartedly. You know, the latest age for male maturity, first it was 25, then it went to 27. Lately I heard it was 53. I kind of go with that, as far as maturity level goes and all those things. So we can talk about those education.
So I would just say, folks, encourage if you have a grandson or a son, daughter, granddaughter, nieces and nephews, encourage them to go to college. And Mike can tell you that the statistics for people who don't go to college and who don't get, advanced training in terms of their income through their whole life, in terms of their personal possibilities.
When I talk about the efficacy of college, we're talking about Yavapai College abandoning their mission here by trying to at least discussing selling the Sedona campus and cutting back more programs on the Clarkdale campus. We're talking about tit for tat. We're talking about tax money that Sedona pays, you know, $6.5 million plus in taxes. The Verde Valley pays $12 million plus in taxes. And right now, the college plans are to spend 5% or less of their money on this side of the mountain where I think the only thing that's going to solve this
12 was the college's figure. I think the new figure is $15 million dollars coming out of the Verde Valley.
The point is that the citizens of the Verde Valley and Sedona can have grievances to address or be redressed by the Yavapai College administration and board. And this is the and I have had other people ask me, and I want to make this clear too, how can they get involved? How can they help? You just talked about that's great. If you can go to meetings, if they're still having meetings, but my sense is that the college is going to wait till the meetings are over and then do what the hell they want to do.
That's what people think, yes.
And one way to get involved is they have a website that shows their schedule of board meetings and replays of videos of board meetings. If people, you know, care, they should pay attention to that.
The response I'm getting is anger over the cutting of Verde Valley campus programs. That, you know, people are just now waking up to some of the critics. We've had some of the critics on the show, Oliphant and Wicks, and you know, this whole chicken and egg thing. Cancel the programs and then say, well, you don't have the enrollments, so we're not going to support programs at your campus. And by that, I'm talking about Sedona and the Verde Valley campuses. So they cut the programs, and then there's no enrollment. I mean, it's kind of a change. So yeah, you know, having the everything that you mentioned, the beauties of community college, encourage 53% can't be driving to Prescott to get that service. Can't be doing that. You need the local service. You need it right here in Sedona. You need it right there in Cottonwood and Verde Valley. And yeah, that's what the fight is all about. That's what's going on.
That's why we go back to that issue. Today we want to talk a little more broadly, shift a little more broadly, and Gary's going to kind of lead the way on this with education generally in Arizona. And I think pretty much everybody who reads the newspaper or listens to radio or television knows that Arizona is way down the scale when it comes to public education, that a lot of seriously bad things have happened and maybe continue to happen. Gary?
I think I would question how many people actually know. I think there's some people that pay a lot of attention to it, and I think there's a lot more people that just believe schools are failing and they don't understand why they don't have any, they think it's the government. They think it's public schools in general. But in reality, you get what you pay for. And that's especially true with public education. I could read a long list of depressing statistics about Arizona, funding and education, but I'll just kind of point out a few of them. According to the NEA, the National Education Association, Arizona is ranked dead last for expenditures per student in public K through 12 schools for years. Now, there's some people that have other statistics that show that we rank third from the bottom and others next to the bottom. It doesn't really matter. We're at the bottom. The Center on Budget and and policy priorities estimated that Arizona would spend 17% less per student on education than it did in 2008 before the Great Recession. Now, the governor has asked for more money to go into to funding public schools. The Senate cut that back a lot, and even so, the money is tied to performance. And this is a whole trap, you know, that could probably take a show by itself, is how do you measure performance of the students? Is it just merely from tests? Is it memorization? You know, how do you hold schools and teachers accountable? Because, you know, some teachers are given students that are ill prepared from, you know, from their home. And
66% of the kindergarten teachers say that their students are not prepared when they start at school, for example. Another statistic, and I'll let Gary have the floor here. 59% of the Arizona students that attend community college need remediation. That's good. You need remediation. You didn't get it in high school. Don't be ashamed of that. Don't be worried about that. Just go to your junior college, go to your community college, and get relearn that stuff.
Right.
There's no shame in that. If you didn't pick it up in high school, go on to college. They'll help you.
Yeah.
There's some other statistics that only Oklahoma and Alabama have cut more state funding for education since 2008. Yeah, your state, Steve.
Right.
You know, we're at a. I taught in
Oklahoma
college.
Oklahoma is ahead of Arizona on most of these statistics.
Yeah, right.
I taught part time in college, and you know, my classes were limited to 15 students, and I found that to be an immense amount of work just for one class a semester. And now you have teachers in Arizona and in elementary schools that have classes of 30 to 40 students. I can't even fathom how you can keep discipline, let alone try to teach something.
Yeah, they've raised all the caps at college.
One of the things you do in California and some of the school system, particularly inner city schools, is they'll have two teachers, one who kind of keeps an eye on discipline and the other who conveys the information, and they'll trade back and forth. So you'll have two people in the classroom. Will still be large, but there'll be two teachers there. And they found that very effective. I have a friend who's worked in that program for years.
Arizona doesn't even want to put one teacher in a classroom, at least with a teaching certificate.
In the Midwest, a lot of the states have and schools have assistant teachers in virtually every class.
Yeah.
So. I don't know if that's true in Arizona. I suspect it's not. There is a recent study out from the U.S. Department of Education called the Civil Rights Data Collection. It's a very extensive collection of information about what schools are offering and how schools are performing. Let's just put it this way: the Arizona ranks high in only two of the criteria that I could find. One is that we rank third highest for percentage of first year teachers. Now that isn't necessarily a good thing because it kind of tells you that the experienced teachers have given up. You know, they've either moved or found another occupation.
I know teachers in the high school here in Sedona that have moved other places for higher teacher salary. You have a family, you've got some kids.
Well, they've moved into bartending or something that really pays and has respect.
Yes.
Well, you remember the president of the school board in Cottonwood said that a first year teacher with a family is automatically qualifies for food stamps.
One of the things I want to mention, and we're going here, and Gary's going to get there eventually too, and that's we want to talk about, you know, the conservative organizations of Arizona, the Arizona School Administrators, the Arizona School Board, ASA, ASBA, Arizona School Board Association, ASBO, the Arizona Business Officials Organization, all are writing letters and and making statements regarding the Arizona legislature's lack, destroying, and that's not too strong a word, a public education in Arizona. At this point, here we are, March 2014, and these conservative organizations are afraid that the Arizona legislature is going to dismantle public education this year. This is not a talk radio overstatement, ladies and gentlemen. It's a, you know, at least assuming that we're talking about editorials in the Arizona Republic saying, hey, please don't dismantle public education in Arizona, because that's apparently the legislation that they're considering now. I'm looking at this website. This is kind of a cool organization, by the way. If you want some nonpartisan information, the Arizona Business and Education Coalition, and they advertise, this is where business meets education. And they got, some excellent, researchers there, some people who are involved with the legislature on a daily basis, and they try to do it from a positive approach. They praise 20 legislators that are champions of education simply because, you know, they didn't cut 25% out of the budget. They only cut, you know, 17% out of the state budget.
So we're supposed to be Democrats, and you're quoting a bunch of organizations that are moderate, nonpartisan.
Yeah, where do I complain?
Conservative.
I signed up. The name of the show is Democratic Perspective. I thought I'd be jumping up and down on this table talking about, you know, education issues and supporting education and health care and workforce labor issues. And what am I doing? Week after week after week, I'm doing reporting on conservative organizations that are supporting reasonable approaches to the issues.
Shame on you, Mike. Shame
well, there's no you. Left. There is no left in Arizona, at least not officially.
There's no left?
There's no left.
Incidentally, the two bills that that Mike's talking about that are, excuse me, a direct assault on public education are HB 2291 and SB 1236. And what these bills are about are creating, you know, call them what you want. They're education vouchers, encouraging you to take state money, taxpayer money, and use it for private schools, particularly.
They're scholarships, Gary, not vouchers.
Well, you call it what you want. They're vouchers. the official name is Empowerment Scholarship Accounts, but what it is an end run on the Arizona State Constitution, which requires, you know, free public education for students, and it prohibits the spending of taxpayer money on religious schools. So in order to get around that, so that they can give people the choice of sending their kids to a religious school at no charge, they're creating these.
Do we have anyone that even, I know that public schools are under constant scrutiny. Do we have anybody that even goes around and checks on these so-called religious schools, what they're teaching? Are they teaching the basics, or do we know?
Do we have, you're asking if we have program and curricular police out there, and I don't believe that we have such. We have people that examine the books quite, you know, they go through audits.
Okay.
And the school district has to fund the audit, and so that part is subject to scrutiny from an outside. But as far as curriculum, unless it's, you know, then this is where it gets complicated. If I sit here and read a funding formula, I'm going to talk about the tax money, how it comes in. But I'm going to talk about all the special programs. And when it comes to special education or Title I or a myriad of other pots of money that come into schools, they tend to have curricular restrictions and somebody watch.
When the money's coming from the feds.
But basic schools, not so much.
Well, the claim is, I think, from the right is it's up to the parents to make judgments on the quality of the school and the curriculum, and they should be in control of it. When you consider that, and you want to put the parents in control, consider the stat that Mike or Steve read earlier, that 66% of students entering kindergarten aren't prepared when they start school. So if the parents aren't preparing them, to get them in school. Do you really want to give the parents who have many of the, you know, many families, both parents are working full time? Do they have time to really oversee the curriculum and force homework?
Well, how about all the money that goes to homeschool kids? How do we know how that's spent? I mean, if it goes to a homeschool, if they're probably scholarships to homeschool, that's just giving the parents money.
Yeah.
What do we know? How do we know what's happening?
The only issue I have with your phrase is all that money. Homeschooling is such a small, relatively small expense that it does go pretty much unnoticed at this point. What I want to ask you is, what's the Arizona Supreme Court just denied a challenge to the law you just talked about, the empowerment, the voucher law, the empowerment scholarship accounts.
Now, this started as a very small program, right, Mike, just focused on basically special needs kids. And is that what's happening in the legislature is new legislation to expand it until at some point it'll include almost all the kids, in which case public education will more or less collapse or be very diminished and kind of common.
You're taking a lot more money out of public schools that can't even afford to repair the roofs in many cases or buy school buses or you know, textbooks. And you already have teachers that are being paid a pitiful salary that qualifies them for food stamps, and they're, in order to teach and buy supplies, they have to go buy the supplies themselves often. You know?
Let me ask you guys one question, and then while we're talking about money, and that is, why do we pay charter schools more per student than we do public schools?
That's a good question.
Okay.
I mean,
they spend more money, clearly, and this is not a debatable statistic. This is just from the state. Why do they provide more money per student for a charter school than they do for a public school? I don't understand that.
They get more money, but they offer fewer programs. They don't offer the extracurricular activities that public schools, you know.
And they get
offer.
To cherry pick their students.
I've quoted it before, but there's a Stanford University study that's quite extensive, comparing charter schools and public schools, and charter schools do no better and often worse than public schools.
One thing I see, I can't answer your question directly, but we are seeing charter district-sponsored charter schools in order to get at that more money. I think $1,000 per student is the current figure, or at least the most recent figure, that charter schools get more than district schools. So guess what districts are doing? They're sponsoring, and the legislature, the law, I was reading, believe it or not, last night, Title 15, the charter school regulation in the Arizona revised statutes, which was a fascinating reading. But anyway, the point is more districts are sponsoring schools to be able to get at that money. But one of the things I want to get to here, I make sure that in regard to I want to talk about this letter from the Arizona School Administrators Association. I'll get the name of their organization.
School Superintendent.
It says School Superintendent is an open letter to Arizona. But we, the school district leaders in Arizona, are troubled that some of our current elected and appointed state leadership seem unwilling to provide a quality education for all of Arizona's children. That one statement alone, written by school administrators to the governing body, to the legislature, is shocking. I mean, beyond recent advocacy efforts by elected officials to grow the privatization of education in Arizona compel us to speak out. It appears that the goal of the current education reform movement is to move designated tax money out of the public sector and transfer it into private hands. This transfer of funds, known as empowerment scholarship accounts, vouchers, or tax credits, is designed to subsidize students to attend private schools rather than using these desperately needed funds for public schools. Severe budget cuts in programs, personnel, and materials have become the norm in our state in recent years. The attack on public education has been disguised as a desire to improve failing schools, but there is a more insidious intent to draw off taxpayer money to private sources with little or no accountability, which is all we've been talking about this morning. They have the bullet points. I'll skip to the bullet points. It's not that long a letter, and you can find it online. And it starts with a nice quote from Thomas Jefferson. He says, "Our strong and vibrant public education system thrives when we provide equal opportunities that are equitably funded. We focus on student wellness and academic fairness. We focus on student preparation for college and career readiness. We provide choices and alternatives within, this is my biggest point, we provide choices and alternatives within our public schools. We exercise local control in partnership with each unique community." So they're asking, we stand ready, you know, to help out any lawmaker.
And every school has a school board, an elected school board, right, in the state. I mean, there are hundreds of them. So you can elect officials. It's not like local people are cut out of education.
The state is trying to, you know, the Republicans who believe in, supposedly, and this is, you see letters to the editor about this all the time, local control. The last thing they want is local control of schools. They're trying to run all the schools from the state. School boards have less and less to do.
But they claim there's no local control, right? They claim that one of their goals is local control. It's a contradiction, yeah.
That's a contradiction, yeah, exactly.
I noticed that the superintendent of schools back a while back...
Of public instruction,
got into a controversy because he started promoting basically these empowerment grants to support private schools.
Yep.
We looked into...
He did a robocall.
He did a robocall, folks.
Kind of selling the empowerment scholarships and encouraging parents.
And up here in northern Arizona, you probably didn't hear them because they were concentrated in Phoenix and Tucson.
So the
area.
Superintendent of Public Instruction is basically going out on a robocall telling people to put their kids in private schools.
Education. Exactly.
So we did a little research and we found that probably his largest independent expenditure committee that helped get him elected is something called the American Federation for Children. And like all these front groups, that sounds good.
It's part of the American Legislative Exchange Council, isn't it?
It's managed by a man named Scott Jensen, who has gotten into a great deal of legal problems. But to go on, where does the money come from? In other words, here's this campaign to privatize schools. They elect Uppenthal, who's basically in charge of public schools in Arizona.
A career politician in charge of public
schools. That's
right. Yeah, he was on the education committee. Pretty much, if you like schools in Arizona, it's Uppenthal was one of the architects. If you don't like schools in Arizona, Uppenthal has been one of the architects for the last 20 years.
All right. The big supporter of Uppenthal when he was running for office is this American Federation for Children. And it's funded, or at least originally was funded, by the DeVos family. DeVos family, it's largely funded by a woman named Betty DeVos. And she married the heir of the Amway fortune, billions of dollars. Billions of dollars. And she's been, her whole campaign is deregulation. When they want to do something that gives power to the people who, the 1% who already control the country, they always call it deregulation and also privatization of the school system. But they have a quote, and this is in Capital newspaper called Roll Call. And this is back in 1997, and she says, "My family is the largest single contributor of soft money to the National Republican Party." That's changed with Citizens United. They don't have to go through these things anymore. She says, "I have decided, however, to stop taking offense at the suggestion that we are buying influence." And then she goes on about, "Now I simply concede the point." She goes on talking a bit about conservative values, and she said, "We expect a return on our investment. We expect good and honest government. Furthermore, we expect the Republican Party to use the money to promote these policies and, yes, win elections." So, yeah. Did they help buy a superintendent? Yeah, of course. And back in the old days, they were publicly proud of it. Gary, Mike?
I'd just like to point out a couple of things with the so-called scholarships, or as I call them, vouchers.
And that's what this group has been encouraging. First in Wisconsin, I think, and now in Arizona.
This is a push nationally, because, you know, but frankly, a lot of it comes from the fact that schools are teaching, God forbid, evolution. That, you know, they're not, they're teaching the theory of evolution, which is similar to the theory of gravity. But, that's one of the big, you know, pushes behind this is to change the curriculum of public schools.
Same family
have
given a great deal of money to the, I can look up the exact names, but there are these conservative family groups of very, very socially conservative, very, I guess it's called religious conservatism or fundamentalism. Yeah.
And make no mistake that what these vouchers are about are to get around the prohibition of spending on taxpayer money on religious schools. 70% of Arizona's private schools are religious schools. So, you know, if we're going to be spending taxpayer money on private schools, guess where it's going to go? It's to religious schools. If the bill passes the two bills that are in the works, it will expand the private school voucher program eligibility to 73% of Arizona's public schools and nearly 900,000 students.
And this is why the groups that Mike is talking about, these conservative business and educational groups, are rebelling because that's just too over the top.
Too over the top. I mean, they are picking public education's pockets clean is the way it's being put.
Well, so on one hand, you're demanding better and better performance out of students coming out of schools. Public schools. On the other hand, you're cutting more and more funding for those schools, and you're driving off teachers, and you're cutting programs.
Once again, it's simple. If you want private schools, great. Have private schools. Doesn't private mean private? But what they're doing is they're going after public money, and getting it to support private schools. And one of the other critics I saw said they created a private education investment club. He said the Republicans were shooting guns behind the closed doors of the Republican caucus of the legislature, celebrating the fact that they have just created a private education investment club with public money.
So why I agree with you 100%. If you want to send your kids to a private school, send your kids to a private school.
But we're talking about charter schools.
Well, charter schools, it's a little bit of addition.
That's what I mean by private. That's what I mean by private.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Some of these are really private schools that Gary's referring to, Mike, I think.
They're either religious or they're
not even charter
very,
schools.
Very expensive, high tuition schools.
Right.
No, that's right. The irony of somebody who's a billionaire, and I would like to see where kids went to school, pushing to privatize public schools for everybody else. It's this 1% attitude that everybody else can, you know, you should be doing like we do, only you don't have $1 billion. So
one of the arguments I hear all the time in favor of vouchers is our parents that are upset that their taxpayer, you know, money is going to fund schools that they don't believe in, that they don't like the curriculum. And I'd like to point out that, you know, I'm one of the many people that don't have kids. I've spent my taxpayer money all my life to support public education without complaint because it benefits society. You know, it's that issue gets completely lost in this whole argument.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most disturbing
things. Speaking liberal.
When people don't have kids or when their kids have graduated, they suddenly don't care about public education anymore because they don't have a player in that whole game.
I may be a stinking liberal, but there's a great correlation between minimum wage and lack of education.
Who do you think you are, Thomas Jefferson? I mean, he says stuff like
that. The age of reason?
He says stuff like that, that the country depends and, in fact, requires an informed electorate. And I want to read one more quote from, this is another conservative guy, a guy named Calvin Baker, superintendent of the Vail District. for 25 years, and he writes a letter on the.
This is the last conservative you get.
This is the last one. The charter. He writes part of his letter on the charter and district quote unquote debate. He says the whole truth. Both district and district schools and state sponsored charter schools have their own financial advantages. The far more important truth is that we are wasting time arguing about those differences between charters and district schools. In fact, we are putting education at risk, as the legislature has a history of equalizing perceived funding differences by taking money away from the schools rather than, we're funding schools unequally. Well, let's take money away, and that way we'll make them equal. the important truth is that...
Only in Arizona, folks.
The important truth is that funding for both district schools and charter schools is shamefully inadequate. Both charter schools and district schools are struggling. Our education funding is at a level among the very worst in the nation. It is a funding level that cheats our children, our future, and our economic development.
That's very well put, Mike, I think.
Yes.
The guys.
Kelvin.
One of the ironies of all of this, too, is that there's this big push by the legislature and the governor to bring corporations and new jobs into the state. And we keep, what is it now, 19 or 20 years in a row, we've cut corporate taxes in the state in order to attract more jobs.
When they do that, then if your property taxes seem high, and for somebody coming from the east, they don't seem particularly high here. They're actually very low. The reason is they've shifted taxes on businesses to taxes on homeowners. That's why your taxes are going up.
But
Gary's right. The claim is that that'll increase.
But rather than bringing in new high paying jobs, it may bring in the cheapest, the lowest paying jobs. But rather than bringing in new jobs, what's happened is it's taken money away from public education. So they've cut funding to the schools, and that is one of the criteria that corporations look for when they're looking to start a new operation. Matter of fact, the chairman of Intel, who was responsible for bringing the corporation into Arizona, said a year or two ago that if he had it to do over again, because of the lack of funding of public education, he wouldn't have picked Arizona.
Even with all the call centers and low-income jobs coming in, according to statistics, 85% of the high-growth, high-wage jobs in Arizona, this is of the good job, will require some form of higher education or work experience, while only 35% of Arizona's working adults hold an associate degree or greater. So if nothing else, there's an economic benefit to going to more and more education. But it means that, and I think what Jefferson's talking about, is it almost doesn't matter whether you have a democracy if you have ignorance, where people don't know what's going on and don't know how to relate to anybody out of their family circle or whatever it is. To have a democracy work, you have to have an educated public. That doesn't necessarily mean higher education, although the people who do not get it are a significant disadvantage. And but it doesn't have to be higher education. It could be job training, right, Mike? Or any kind of thing that'll bring you a skill.
There is the part of the school statute does deal with the JTED districts. What used to be called vocational education and now is career and technology education. And so there is an organized and funded, not well funded, but they at least have some money earmarked and focused on that part of the educational system. So for anybody that's interested in career and technology education, then we do have an organization or organizations that focus on that.
One of the reasons we complained about the college is they moved all that technical education. Suppose you want to learn welding. or jewelry making or anything, all that's been moved over to the Prescott area. It's no longer taught here on in the
Well, be careful with the word all. I mean, there's still a jewelry, there's still jewelry classes on the Verde Valley campus, but there you can't finish a program at all in, on the on Verde Valley campus.
As, yeah. as long as we're talking about higher education, you know, I looked up the Arizona Constitution, you know, last night and looked up the pertinent,
First time, Gary, that you checked it out?
It hasn't been really, a great source of interest of mine until recently, but.
Nor the Arizona Supreme Court or the Arizona Legislature.
Certainly not the Arizona Legislature. You should read it once in a while.
And when you're talking about higher education, you know, the Constitution, requires that the university and all other state educational institutions shall be open to students of both sexes, and the instruction furnished shall be as nearly free as possible. Now, yeah. You know, when you're talking about higher education with the universities, how free is it to send a student to Arizona State University, the University of Arizona, or Northern Arizona?
Well, that's the same. And the result here is what I see among young people. I mean, and this is not anecdotal. This is statewide. This is a great boon for private education. You see an awful lot of private schools because, you know, the student, I don't care, between 18 and 90 says, hey, I want to get a better job. I got to get some education. I look around. I want to go to massage. I see a massage. I want to go to
it's
school.
All for profit.
I want
that's
to go to school.
Saying.
It's all for-profit private schools.
And that's filling the gap.
Are filling the gap. Yeah, exactly, because state schools are so expensive. And you got all the requirements and everything else. So you got some hugely expensive private education institutions in Arizona. So they have working financial aid people that you can actually get to. And I'm not saying a lot of state higher ed, but it is these people are the private education people are a little more focused on customer service, I guess.
One of the sad things too about our universities is that a high percentage of our graduates from the universities leave the state because there aren't any opportunities for them here.
Exactly. Well, and that's what the lady on the Business and Ed Coalition website, a lady named Susan, she said, no matter how beautiful our weather, companies will not come here if our schools stink.
If the weather was bad, we would be in catastrophic trouble.
We'd be Oklahoma.
Oh, no. All right. We've got 2 minutes.
Yeah.
We have announcements.
We do have announcements. We want to talk about Doors Free Movie. Yeah, you talk about, we ought to tell this story someday, you know, starting with, four people a month down in the KSB, keeps it on a beautiful building. And now, we have Democrats of the Red Rocks holds a free movie every month in the Sedona Library and has wonderful turnouts for the March 25th movie coming up 6 to 8 p.m. at the Sedona Library is a Wild versus Wall. This is an environmental movie co-sponsored by the Sierra Club, the Grand Canyon chapter of the Sierra Club. And so don't forget, they show the movie. They have a little after-screening chat, which a lot of people enjoy. Dan Mills, the program coordinator for the Sierra Club, will be leading that chat. We have Democrats of the Verde Valley help us out with a few bucks once in a while, so we want to give them a shout-out. What do they got coming up?
We have on Thursday evening at Randall's Restaurant at 6:30 p.m., we have a terrific speaker. She's been on our radio program. Diane Post is going to come talk about the cost of private prisons.
Excellent. And she's a dynamic speaker.
She really
she's one
is.
One of the best speakers I've heard in years. She's a great speaker, and it looks like a really good program. If you missed her and you didn't get to hear her, or you can listen to our broadcast, but you can also hear her speak. Where can we find material?
Yes. I was going to say the theme here, if there's an assault, there is an assault on the taxpayers' money in Arizona. I mean, once again, I feel like a conservative, but then both these ladies are addressing that. You can get this and all the other wisdom at bvid.org. bvid.org has this podcast and many, many others. Thank you.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.